in recent times, the analysis, as it were, of America's wars, especially the more recent ones, or the ongoing ones, has devolved into an either-or in which the promulgation of conflict is viewed as a benefit, almost, to the, quote, ruling parties, unquote. Something which, while cast in different lights by Republicans and Democrats, will be continued by both parties. This is seen as a reason why, even when the Democratic Party is in quote-unquote power, they will push aside the reservations of the progressive side of their party in the interests of continuing conflicts in some way or another. And as such, war is viewed as this self-preservation of the elitist governing systems. At least that is how it would be cast by many, interestingly, on both the progressive side of politics and the more, I guess I would say, aggressively conservative side of politics. Conservative in the sense of reserved use of government power. For those in support of these various conflicts, the support is not consistent, but the general feeling or consensus remains that, to quote a common refrain, freedom is not free, and that one of the requirements of this is to become involved in global conflicts, as mentioned earlier, in order to provide a more stable basis for our country to exist in the world stage. But certainly very few are satisfied with the status quo, even those in support of war as a way to stabilize various regions and the world as a whole, do not necessarily support any individual instance, nor the prosecution thereof. This occurs especially with some of the ongoing conflicts, the nature of which changes from administration to administration, and with changing alignments within the regions themselves. Of course, this is particularly true in the Middle East, but it is also true in other areas such as the Pacific Rim and elsewhere. But it would be hard to cater the solutions of these conflicts in such a way that would be satisfying to all parties, even all parties who support it as a general concept. And certainly those who oppose this use of the military complex tend to oppose it wholeheartedly, insisting that it is not our country's purpose or best interests to become involved in these conflicts, which are, after all, so far from our doorstep. This leaves us with some very difficult lines to cross, and they're all rather unrealistic. The times that we have abstained from entering into conflict have often not gone well. Oftentimes, we end up getting drawn into the conflict nonetheless, and are starting off on the wrong foot for having delayed, and often this costs lives, not to mention the prolonging of the conflict itself. One such conflict that comes to mind is the First World War, of course. And while it's easy to argue that in hindsight, this is a war that needed to be concluded, it was very much not obvious at the time, and you could even argue the benefits derived now. And while I would, as I feel most would, overall come down on the side that it was a war worth involvement, it's not such a clear-cut issue. And certainly at the time, it was rather unpopular, the notion of sending so many of our men and materials over for just another European war. Well, you could certainly go back and forth and argue the merits of engaging in a particular conflict or the likelihood of needing to engage in another conflict. But the fact is, the world is not stable. There may come a time when the involvement in another country's affairs, in any extent, becomes undesirable. And certainly, it is not desirable in a philosophical standpoint, but in a practical one, seems to be a requirement for setting the world in somewhat of a better state. With the outcome of almost any conflict, we have, as a country, as a military, remained to not only exert some remnant of military control as the region restabilized or the country built itself back up, but also to ensure that the minds and the culture of the locale reestablished themselves in a way that was fitting for the modern civilized world. It seems unlikely that an attempt to ignore the ongoing concerns of the globe entirely would have a net positive result. This would be all the more so true if it were known that the United States did not involve itself in external affairs unless it were brought directly to our shores. Certainly, this would embolden other nations. Certainly, the withdrawal entirely from all other areas would leave a gaping hole of instability. And you could argue, realistically, that in the past, the attempts of the United States to engage stability in an area have not always been successful, and that the law of unintended consequences have caused many negative ramifications, some of which we did not see coming. People have put the 9/11 attacks in this bucket, casting it back many decades to the initial conflicts in the region, in Afghanistan, and so forth. But to pretend that the issue wouldn't exist if we hadn't entered there, or that the outcomes would have been no worse for us if we didn't, seems to me a little foolhardy. Extremists of any kind, whether nationally sanctioned or underground, are not satisfied with destabilizing a specific area. It is in the express interest of almost every extremist group to carry their message and their mission to the rest of the world, whether that means the conquering of other nations or simply the subjugation of cultures, the wreaking of terror, or simply the propagandization of nations. All form express threats to any and all countries that wish to remain free. The extent, degree, immediacy, and likelihood of any particular extremist group or nation achieving success in this regard is not really the question. The question is this an ongoing threat? And while certainly there are some which we can and must ignore, to figure that we could universally ignore them until they reached our backyard is not realistic. It is in many ways, ironically, a progressive and a libertarian way of looking at global conflicts that it is not our place to intervene. But we court immense danger by completely failing to do so, and a threat that is ignored will at some point be insurmountable. Both progressives and libertarians tend to ignore this more pragmatic aspect of foreign policy. To swing to the other side, however, it is equally foolhardy to blindly support every decision made by every president in terms of the engagements that could be made with any global conflict. Some, in fact, disagree with one another in purpose and the stated goals of a given administration towards how to engage with a region or a given known conflict are also at odds with one another. So to put your faith simply and I would say blindly in any given mission is unlikely to lead to much success either. If you are a soldier, it is a meritorious deed to believe in the mission you are given and to do your duty whether you like it or not. That is understandable. As to where the line should be drawn, that is a more philosophical question with which each individual must tangle, but I would posit that we are nowhere near that line in any of America's current recent conflicts, and perhaps even less so with the ones further in the past. But for an individual not actively embroiled in these conflicts and not faced with the yoke of duty, it requires a certain amount of assessment to gauge which conflicts have merit and which do not, which represent actual threats and which do not, which are necessary for global stability, which are required for national stability, which global conflicts, if ignored, will lead to national troubles, which will not, which are unforgivable and unignorable human rights violations, and which are simply matters best left to the individual countries. These are matters which must be taken into account in a good foreign policy. And that is where a good balanced approach to conflict could lie. We do not, as some would suggest, ignore the threats in the world. We do not focus so entirely on ourselves that we ignore what occurs in the world. We can wish that it would be so, that our interest as American citizens, and especially the politicians of America, should be able to focus on bettering this country, on supporting this country. But not only does that sometimes require looking out instead of looking in, but also we as human beings must understand to some extent that there are lines for ourselves as a nation which must be drawn in terms of when something must be done, as you might put it. But that we also cannot blindly pursue every conflict which seems like it may tangentially relate to us as a country, cannot shift our strategy constantly as conflict begets conflict. And so I would propose something along these lines. The United States is for itself first and foremost. It recognizes itself as a world player, as a major world player, and therefore when conflicts arise, we can and must assess them. Firstly, if they present direct and immediate threat to the United States, there is no room for latitude there. Fortunately, such conflicts are rare. Secondly, if a conflict does not directly involve the United States, but may, at some point, involve the United States if it is left to grow, to foment on its own, then the United States will assess and investigate the likelihood of the damage of this conflict, both in danger and in impact. How likely is it to occur, and how significant would it be were it to occur? And then, at the behest of our citizens or their representatives, we may choose to engage in that conflict as well. If we choose to engage in that conflict, we will do so with our own priority as the focus. We will determine the most efficient and effective strategy to execute the conflict and bring it to a suitable termination in the shortest amount of time in a way that balances humanity and our own citizens. Thirdly, we reserve the right to assess any global conflict in terms of the raw damage to humanity which it poses. Should the citizens of the United States or their representatives feel that the atrocities committed, no matter the conflict, ought to incur immediate termination of that conflict, the United States will involve itself to the extent required to end the conflict. Once again, we will attempt to balance the needs of humanity and the interests of our own citizens. We may choose a course of action which may appear unsympathetic, but which, in the sum of things, lead to a more stable world and a preservation overall of a larger number of people than otherwise would be expected and predicted to die and suffer as a result of the outcome of the conflict. Lastly, if any conflict does not reflect one of these three categories, it is then in the best interests of the United States and its citizens not to engage. Of course, as a living nation and a dynamic nation, the parameters by which we gauge any given conflict, the importance of any given conflict, will vary by conflict and over time as sympathies change and interests change and the global stage itself change. However, certain demarcations will be set in place which are undefilable. There is a mark of common sense around this, and that cannot and will not be swayed by the feeling of the times. Mass death is a human injustice. Other injustices may be assessed under the sympathies of the time and the situation. However, even if a grave injustice is perceived, if the damage or potential damage to the United States in terms of stability, in terms of human life, might suffer beyond the level of the injustices being committed, and we do not expect a danger that would, in any time in the near future, come to our doorstep, then it is not a conflict in which the United States should engage. We must balance our role as a major world player and, as such, as an arbiter of justice worldwide, with the need to place the United States first, as is the prerogative of any nation. It is the duty of all nations, first and foremost, to do best for themselves, and so we would ask that the nations embroiled in their conflicts recognize this and work to resolve the conflict. If there are other means which those nations in turmoil would appeal to the United States for assistance, it would be encouraged for the United States to make its best effort to assist, as long as such does not derail the ongoing needs of the United States. It will never be an easy problem or have an easy solution to find balance in global conflict, but neither the unpragmatic blindness, intentional blindness, towards international conflicts and global scale interactions, nor the continuing and arbitrary prosecution of war will lead this country down a profitable path. Setting guidelines for how and when to engage in a conflict, and having chosen to do so, pursuing the outcome by all means and without holding back, and without worrying about what other countries will think, for it is not their problem, we can achieve a better position for ourselves on the world stage, for ourselves as a country, and help other countries to recognize that perhaps they can do the same. There is no need to divide our concept of global interaction as war or anti-war. There is no need to engage rhetorical devices that make individuals or groups out to be something other than they are, viewing those who prosecute war as aggrandizers, as promoters of conflict for their own benefit, looking at those who would choose to end a conflict as ignorant or afraid. These approaches do not help us. Taking a practical, realistic, and balanced approach to handling ourselves as a country involved in many foreign affairs and recognizing which of those are important and which of those are not will leave us not only with more internal stability, but with the ability to support the important needs that we find in the world in a much more effective way.